Have your Bible, book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Some of you will remember Brother Al Wells as he would come and preach to us. There were a number of times, especially the latter few years, that when Brother Wells got here, he was sick. He wasn't feeling good. I think two or three of those times he had just suffered pneumonia the week before, and he was just kind of coming out of that. And I think one of the occasions he was kind of going into pneumonia and just was feeling terrible. And he would stay in his room at the motel and just kind of be dead all day long. And I'd go pick him up. We'd have a little bite to eat. And he'd come and he'd preach. And he'd think, boy, I'll tell you what, Brother Wells, he normally preach an hour, 10, 15 minutes. And you'd think, well, he'd be done in 30 minutes. Not when he was sick. It seemed like it went longer. And I found out later he would tell me, he said, you know, it's just a remarkable thing, but when I'm preaching, he says, I don't feel sick. And he says, when I'm not feeling well, he says, I like to just keep on preaching because I know it's going to come to me as soon as I get done. Hang on tonight. I'm feeling bad all day, and I just thinking I might just preach all night, and then I'll feel good all night. How's that sound? And all God's people said, oh, I'm feeling sick. No, I'm seriously. Isn't it great that we can have these? I tell you the truth, I feel horrible physically, but I feel really great inside. I've been studying this and looking at it for the last several weeks, and we've looked at a portion of this already, and not getting any hurry with it, but we looked at verse number 12, just the first three words, about two, 3 weeks ago. Tonight we're going to try to finish this verse, but let's back up to verse number 10. I want to read this section, chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wondrous word. I pray tonight you might just open our hearts and our minds to it. Help us to understand truth and make application of it. For Father, if we be not doers of it, we don't know how to put it into our lives, it's really of very little value. So God, I pray you might help us to see the value and the purpose and understand some great things from your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If there is something that I would like to get across tonight, it is this. You and I are very weak. You and I have a battle that we cannot win ourselves. We are in very, very sad situation. However, he says, be strong in who? The Lord. God doesn't lose battles. And in the Lord, we can have victories. And so we need to understand tonight, because oftentimes as God's people, we try to do stuff in our own ability. And it just does not work. In our text tonight, in verse number 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, a few weeks ago, we looked at just those first few terms there. We wrestle, or we wrestle not. And what we learned there is, when you wrestle, it's an individual contest. You know, even if it's like in some of these so-called pro wrestling, though that's not wrestling, they might do a tag team. But here we find it's two combatants or two people. There's two individuals that are involved, one against the other. And so it's an individual conflict. Every one of us has this conflict. All of us have a battle. Whether we want to accept it or not, it is there. But not only is it an individual conflict, but it's universal. In other words, you not only have the battle, but I have the battle. All our brethren have the battle. It's an individual thing, but collectively, we all are involved in this same type of a battle. And the other thing we find here is when it says, "For we wrestle not," we notice the tense of the verb. And it's in the present tense. And what it is really just trying to get us to understand is it's ongoing. It's ongoing. It's not going to cease. Matter of fact, not until we get to the very end of the book of Revelation, we see the devil locked up, is this battle ever going to cease. We're going to see it for the rest of our lives. And we're going to see portions of it even during the millennial period. But he is a strong foe. He does not quit easily. And so we have a fight upon our hands. So we need to understand that. We wrestle. And we wrestle not against, though, and here's what's important for us to understand, flesh and blood. It's not a physical foe. It's not a matter that we're fighting against other people, though it kind of tends to go that way sometimes. But we have, by the way, our flesh to contend with, don't we? All of us have that old nature within us, and that flesh to contend with. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, but to me it is very, very strong. Go back to the book of Romans with me, chapter 7, book of Romans. Let's notice this just for a moment again. Just review. And notice what it says in Romans chapter number 7. I'm going to start in verse 18. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members." What we find here? We find that this old nature is very strong. Notice verse 24. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Notice, by the way, he asked the question, who, not what. And that's a good, good question, because verse 25 gives us the answer. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And what do we find when we read these verses? Even though Paul is a saved man, he's got a new nature. He cannot accomplish what he wants to accomplish. We understand that. We find that the new nature does not even have power over the flesh, as we might think. There's a conflict there. What do we need? We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God to overcome those things. If you go into the next chapter, chapter number 8, and some people have called this the Mount Everest of the mountain peaks of the Bible. Notice verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Somebody said the real battle is in the mind. Where's the mind at? "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." You and I have the wonderful privilege to have the Spirit of God within. The Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians chapter 5, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye what? Shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." That's God's promise to us. So you and I, we have this flesh that is very, very strong. And we need to have the power of the Spirit of God to overcome that flesh. Just the new nature by itself, it seems like from Romans 7, is not going to happen. Paul's saved. And he says, I want to do it, but I can't do it. How am I going to deliver from this? Well, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the place where it is. Now, we find in this text, however, in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we're combining two terms here, which is generally understood to referring to other people or mankind. So the battle is not with mankind. Though there are enemies that are of the human race, so to speak, and we have enemies oftentimes that seem to be from within and without, what we need to understand is the real enemy is the devil. I think it's very good for us if we can get something straight. No matter who might be attacking us, we'd understand where it's really coming from. And if we can get that, especially when it's oftentimes as Christians, we feel like brothers and sisters in Christ are attacking us. But if we can realize, hey, it's really the devil having a heyday in their lives, it's going to help us with our attitude toward them and our love toward them. Because we can find ourselves getting in a very hateful position towards those whom seem to be enemies to us. So it's a very difficult thing for us, but we do have a battle that's out here. And this battle is not against flesh and blood, as we see here. We need to realize how utterly weak we are. We are so weak. I mean, we have enough problems with the flesh and the world system, but God says in this verse, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not the real problem, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What do we have? Not physical foes, but some spiritual foes. In Matthew chapter 10, we find the Lord told the disciples to go on a preaching tour. And when you read that chapter, you find there's three places there, just almost in about six verses, where he says not to be afraid of men. Not to be afraid of men. Not to fear man. And certainly we ought not fear man. But we need to understand something. There's a devil that's far greater than any man. The battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is against these types of spiritual powers. And if you and I are going to win this battle, the armor needs to be in place. That's the warning that we ought to get from this. Now we notice something here that a lot of folks get intrigued with. He says, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we come to a spot here, and it seems like that it's teaching us that there's a hierarchy within the kingdom of the demons, that there's an order amongst these demonic beings, and I don't believe we can really dispute that. How that sets itself up, not exactly sure. It talks about principalities here. And certainly the devil is over all of this, it seems like. The Bible says in Matthew 9:34, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And another place he talks about, depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So there seems to be this grouping or this hierarchy that is there. And we find that he is called the prince amongst them, the prince of this world, in John chapter 14 and verse number 30. And there seems to be some kind of an order here. Some have felt and believe it is referring to referring to their order in the world. Some believe that the principalities is referring to particular nations, and then within those nations, as it breaks down into subdivisions in each of the nations, and so that there's angels, fallen angels, can we say, or demons that are in charge of each of these things, and there is some very good thoughts of veracity to that. We find that there's one angel that is prescribed definitely the nation of Israel. And perhaps there's others that are prescribed in other places. Right now, I think we have one dwelling in the... Well, anyway, I'll get off that subject. I don't say White House, but I won't say that. But we have these kinds of setup, it seems to be. Matter of fact, another interesting thought is that you and I were even subject to principalities and powers. Titus 3:1 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready unto every good work. And certainly, as you and I are in this world, we are to what? We are to obey those who are in authority over us. But it seems like that Satan has a great deal of influence. And that is very evident as we look to Scriptures. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 28, it refers to the king of Tyrus. And in that, it really gives a description of Satan. And calls him the anointed cherub in that particular section. And yet we got to remember that God is in control of everything. The Bible teaches us in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, it says that He setteth up kings. So God, for whatever reason, and we could go into that tonight, has allowed Satan to have access into these areas. And he is what? Seeking to destroy us, to take us down. And there's forces that are against us. How the fact that they are united in their effort seems to be very obvious. And they have their different purposes and what have you, seems to be very obvious. What I really want us to gain when we look at these terms here is to remember the extent of his capability. To understand just how powerful he is. You take the term principalities. And basically what that is referring to, he is organized among the nations. We have a lot of folks out here that are conspiracy theorists. And everything's a conspiracy. And there's some validity, it seems to be, to some of those things. I'll tell you something I saw today. I don't know how I came across it, but I saw a video today of the Twin Towers as they were coming down. And in that video, there's things that seems to be exploding about 15, 20 floors below where the actual collapsing was taking place. And many believe, as you look at that, it's a picture of how we tear down giant buildings by explosives so that they just fall straight down. So, could that be some sort of thing? I don't know. I'm just trying to make a point here. He is organized. And he is, I believe, in the nations. And most definitely, there are leaders who are very demonic. They come on the scene and they seem very good. They seem very wise. They seem like they're really going to help people. And yet they turn out to be Hitlers. And all sorts of different things. We just have this taking place over and over and over again. So we have these principalities. We find, secondly, he talks about powers, against powers. And what's he referring to here? He's referring to basically their strength. It is ominous. Their strength is far greater than ours. So you and I, we're up against something that is gigantic, well organized. And here we are, just a little church in a small town in USA. And yet there's forces out here that are gigantic. What do we need to understand from this? We need the power of God. Because God doesn't lose. And you and I need to be, what, listening to Him. And we need to be, what, drawing from the power that is His. Because in ourselves, this thing can overtake us. And so we look at all these things and we hear all these different things that take place. And, boy, we can get so down in the mouth and down the dumps about it. But, hey, listen. Where are we supposed to get our strength? In the Lord. Amen? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Is His might greater than the power referred to in verse 12? By all means. Greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. What do we need to recognize from this? We need to recognize, hey, the foe is large. It is huge. We deal with the flesh, but we're not fighting against flesh and blood. But we do have the flesh of our own nature, don't we? We have this world system that is out here putting all the pressure upon us. And we have Satan seemingly organizing the whole works. And seemingly, as you look at some of these things, you say, my goodness, how are we ever going to escape his clutches? Well, we have a God that is well able. Eon Paisley, I don't know if he's going to be with the Lord or not. I've not kept up with his life in the last several years. In the midst of a lot of that Irish conflict, a saved man, he's, I believe, what is he, Bible Presbyterian or something? What is he? I don't know what he is. And I've heard some good testimonies about him. But he said that one of these days when God's through with me, an assassin's bullet will find me. But until God's finished with me, God will protect me. And that's what we need in our lives. And that's what we're talking about here, is realizing we are in a tremendous, tremendous battle. Now notice, thirdly, he says here, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The rulers of the darkness of this world. There's something interesting about light when it comes into a dark room. It brings light. The only way you can get rid of the light is to extinguish it. But as long as that light is there, it's going to reveal things in that darkened place. God has placed us here as light. And He seeks to keep it dark. There were the dark ages, remember? Was referring to the light of the gospel was suppressed a great deal by the Roman Catholic Church in those days. We find that nations today, many of them are in darkness because the gospel is just not allowed to be in there. But light dispels darkness, and we are the light. But they are the rulers of the darkness of this world. We could also look at that and understand the occult world as well. And then he says, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wickedness, its very nature. And then it says, in high places. And perhaps that's talking about it's targeting leadership. Targeting those who are in those positions of leadership. And I think that, I look at this and I think, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ was targeted by Satan himself, wasn't he? It's an amazing thing to me. He doesn't seem to be afraid to go try to tempt Jesus. Why do we think he's not going to come after us? And we think, well, we're just insignificant people. But he is all powerful. Let me rephrase that. He is very powerful, but our God is all powerful. And you and I, listen, we're not out of harm's way. We have all these things against us. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. So we look around our world today. We look around at our country. We see horrible things taking place. We see all this stuff that's going on. And yet at the same time, we find through the power of God, things can be changed. Through the power of God, revivals come. Through the power of God, we can see governments changed. We can see the hearts and lives of people changed. And so we really live in exciting times. I also saw today the testimony of, was it five or six representatives on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., give a very good testimony of Jesus Christ. I wish I could remember the name of one. He was a black man. He started giving his testimony. He started preaching. He was excited. We have some people who are getting into some positions in our nation. Inspire the devil, try and destroy us. God still moves and works in some areas. And though the devil's trying to destroy them, there's people still getting saved. I walked out of here Sunday morning after going around four, five, six different people and thinking about them getting saved in the last few months and years. And I thought, wow, amen, praise the Lord. God is in that business. And though everything seems to be dark, we can have victory in Christ. Amen? So we look at this and we understand we are up against a tremendous foe. And so we look at verse number 12 and realize what that is. Notice verse 13, what it starts where? Wherefore. Wherefore. And we'll pick that up next week. But wherefore take upon you, or take unto you the whole armor of God. Not a portion of it, but all of it. Because if we're going to stand, we must have that. We must have that armor. Against the flesh, we need the Spirit of God. Against the devil and all of his cohorts, we need this armor. Every piece of it becomes very important. And we'll look at some of those important things as we come through the next few days. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much that we have a great Savior. In spite of the tremendous assault upon our soul, the horrible enemy that we face, the deplorable conditions of this old world, yet we recognize that you are the powerful one, the one who not only saved us from the pit of hell, but empowers us to have victory over he who would like to conquer us. Lord, you've said that we are more than conquerors through him. Thank you, O God, for that privilege. Bless us and give us that kind of faith and that kind of wisdom as we stand in the gap with our armor on. God bless in each life tonight and strengthen as they go forth tomorrow. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And you are dismissed.